I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. 'Cause I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Amen. All right. As I mentioned, I had Brother Ray to come get prepared to bring the message tonight. I asked him to, and he graciously accepted the opportunity. I only told it was late yesterday whenever he got the word, so I kind of sprung it on him. And what the Bible says, be ready. Amen. Amen. So he's ready for us tonight. So you come on, Brother Ray.
Well, good evening. How is everybody? I'm sorry, Brother Jerry. I had to steal that from you. How you is? It just flows right off the tongue for me. Well, open your Bibles to... Open your Bibles, Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. As preacher was saying, he mentioned, or he asked me yesterday if I'd preach, and sure, love to. I do want to say that what an honor it is to be able to, after my past, after the things I've done in my life, that there is a man of God that has faith in me and will allow me to stand behind his pulpit. This is a sacred desk. Not just anybody can do it. I can't do it. So it's an honor and a privilege to me to get to preach for our church. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, come before you tonight, Lord, with a heavy heart. The message that you've given me, Lord, is I hope you use it for your honor and your glory, Lord. I pray that people will listen and not shut me out at the beginning, Lord. Come down and meet with us, Lord. We need revival. We need revival bad. And just thank you for all you're going to do for us. We love you. Your name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. We're all friends here, right? Amen. We're all family. Let me go ahead and begin with this. Apparently, we have a problem. And I say I use that as us, the church family. There's a problem. And you say, well, what problem is that? I'll get to that. The reason I say there is a problem, because the message tonight, when I've been working on several different Brother Chad, Brother Russell, some of the others can tell you, you always have something, some thought that the Lord will give you throughout your daily Bible reading. So you write that down, and then you go back to it later, and you try to put a message together. Or, in this particular case, nothing ever came of it. The Lord never gave me anything else, so I thought, well, all right, that's just a nugget, just something He gave me for my daily Bible reading. But apparently this is a problem that the Lord wants addressed again, because our pastor has mentioned it in his sermons lately. Brother Russell has expounded upon it in the youth department. But yet here we are again, and the Lord has given me this verse that I could not shake. I tried all the other sermons I had. I probably had four or five other little thoughts, you know, a couple points with them, and tried going with those. It wasn't happening. I was drawing a blank. One verse kept popping into my mind. Only one verse. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 51. We'll read the first part of it because, that's what the Lord gave me. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. There is a major heart problem in our church. It's not just our church, it's in churches in general. Now, who's got this problem? Is it the whole church? Is it just some of us? Is it just this side? Is it just one person? If so, am I the person? I want to preach for, I won't take very long. I want to preach tonight, just a few minutes, on this idea. You've heard the phrase, got milk? Popular advertisement. Very popular. They've even come up with other stuff. For the message tonight, got heart disease? Well, it's a little weird, a little strange, maybe something you hadn't ever thought of before, but we have a heart problem in our church. Did you know that you can be saved and have a heart problem? Now, I am by no means a doctor. Some of you literally, and I mean your real heart beating inside your chest, you have problems with that today. From where I stand, I can't tell. Junior has had problems with high blood pressure. Looking at him, you never guess it. What is it that affects our heart? What makes our heart to go bad after we get saved? You're a Christian. You're a child of God. When you die, you're going to heaven. Ain't nothing you can ever do to change that. But the thing is, we're not right with God. I want to focus on one little thing tonight. It's found in Lamentations chapter 3. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Missionaries use this in their slide presentation. They show you the mission field. And this verse can be used in so many different ways. Recent events have opened my eyes to things that I have just hadn't paid any attention to. Okay, things in my personal life there. It's got me thinking. What causes that? What causes a person to have heart problems? And the Bible clearly states, mine eye affecteth my heart. Now, I have an illustration. Let me go ahead with this real quick. You can do this without dropping it. Bear with me a minute. If you will, go with me on this glass being your heart. Okay? Now, we can take things of the world. I'm pouring here. It's good tea, by the way. And just for fun, we could even mix up little religion. Look at that. Catch my drift? You see what I'm saying here? Do this without spilling it. This is what we get when the Lord saves us. It's our new heart. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to give you five references real quick, so keep your Bibles handy, and we'll go through these as quick as I can. Genesis chapter 3. That's not right. I think it's 13. I wrote down. Yeah, it's 13. Here we have the story of Lot. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 10 says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Now flip over to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, we have the story of Achan. Remember Achan? Verse number 21. "When I saw among the spoils of a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." Flip over to Judges, just a few pages over. Judges chapter number 14. Judges chapter 14, verse number 2 says, "And he came up and told his father and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse number 1 says, And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 14. I hope you're grasping this concept. There's one word, maybe said two or three different ways, that keeps appearing in each of these. There's one little thing, one little act that keeps going on. In the verse number, Matthew 14, verse number 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. What is the one thing that all these stories have in common? What's that, Brother Jerry? It's a vision. They were all affected by what they saw. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. How's that go? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above, He is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Your eyes are the window to your soul. Mine eye affecteth my heart. When you as a Christian put nothing but godly things in your life, that's what you get. But you as a Christian, because you got a heart problem, well, let me pour a little bit more of that back. We don't need all that religion. That's too much Christianity. You fill the rest of it up with water. Oh, well, tea. Getting confused here. Things of God, things of the world. Here's a concept for you. If I had enough tea and I set this in here and I just kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring, you realize that there would not be any of this water left in there. Same thing with water. If I had enough water and just kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring, there's not going to be any tea left in it. It's going to be clear. It is very, very important. Very. Nothing else. You as a Christian, nothing else matters. Go with me here. Nothing else in your world matters but keeping your heart with all diligence. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 4 real quick. I could quote it, but I want to make sure I get it right. Proverbs 4, verse number 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, I'm going to allude to it a little bit later on in the message. You know what? Let me go ahead and get my illustration guys up here. Brother Russell, Brother Chad, Seth. Go ahead with this illustration. Okay? Again, I want you to keep this in mind. The more you put in there, the less of the world you're going to have. Okay? Now, think with me. Joshua, it's my ball. I'm going to use this as a heart. Okay? Brother Russell, stand over here. Chad, you can go over there with him. Yes, sir. Seth, come stand right here. Okay? Now, Seth is the average person. Hold that ball. Hold that heart. Seth is average person. In fact, we could say that he is lost. Okay? When he dies, he's going to go to hell. Okay? I'm going to go ahead and play Satan just for a minute. Here is how much bigger, how much stronger Satan is than we are. Did you catch that? Let me do it again for the slow ones. Go get that. This is you as a lost person. Go over here with Brother Russell. We'll use Brother Russell as God for a minute. Seth, you are a Christian now. You've been saved. Give your heart over to Brother Russell. You can go stand behind him. Brother Chad, all the way to the door and hang on just a second. Now go with me here. Seth has gotten saved. His heart is right. Okay? When your heart is right, it is in God's hands. Ain't nobody taking it out. Ain't nobody big enough to take it out. All right, Chad. What happens when God has you in His grasp? Did you see how he fell? You all right? You gonna be all right?
Yeah.
Think with me. Now. Come here, Seth. Now, I'm not going to have him do it because... because obviously, Miss Kelly would kill me.
Nah.
What do you think would happen if God wasn't here to protect Seth?
No.
Did you see how Chatty fell? It was like hitting a brick wall. Seth would go through that wall if Chatty hit him. Let me be seated, guys. No, let me have that. All right. Why is it we've been coming to church for how long? How long have you been coming to church? How many times have you heard a message on the heart? How many times has preacher alluded to it in his messages lately? Youth department, how many times has Brother Russell mentioned it? But yet somebody here tonight has still got a heart problem. There it is. You know why you got a heart problem?
Yeah. Come on.
I feel like you're not getting it. Is everybody understanding this? It's pretty simple, isn't it? Then why do you have a heart problem? What's going to fix this? We got revival coming up. How are you ever going to get right with God when you're still... Why does it take once a year for you to get right? How long does it last? Amen. What are you putting in? Well, I like to watch some shows on TV that may not necessarily be... You know, I probably wouldn't watch them if preacher was there. I've done the same thing. I've said the same thing. Well, it's all right if the world says it's okay. Somebody told me the other day, was talking to them on this whole thing about boys and girls touching. Boy, it got quiet real quick. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 1 says, it's good that man not touch a woman.
Right.
See that right there? That's my woman. That's my wife. God said I can touch her. I can hold her hand. I can kiss her. Now, is that okay for me to do that with the other ladies in here? Well, what's the difference when we're not married? How do you know that's your mate? But the world says it's okay, okay? Hey, after all, you know, we're just, you know, horse playing. That's all it is. It's all right, everybody's doing it. That makes it okay. Your eye is affecting, you said, your eye is affecting your heart. You know why? You're seeing the world do this. And hey, that Southern Baptist church down the road, they said it was okay. Well, hey, they're Baptist. That's what y'all believe, right, Mom, Dad? The same thing. Y'all are just being old fuddy-duds. Yeah, that word will take you back, huh? Your eye will affect your heart. Let me give you 3 points real quick on some things you need to put in your heart to keep it pure. Okay? I don't want heart disease. I don't want to die. My biological family, my biological mom is dead from heart disease, and my biological father has, I think he's got problems with his heart. I mean, other problems. But I don't want to die from that, spiritually or physically. So the first thing that I do is I check my salvation. Am I saved? John chapter 3, you must be born again. Ain't no way around it. No man cometh unto the Father. And see, you know these words and you can quote these verses. And you've been maybe down here 27 times like I was. But yet you're not saved. Nothing else matters. You can put as much spiritual things in your heart. You can put as much worldly things. It really doesn't matter. Your whole Christian life is based off your salvation. Nothing else matters after that. All right. So you're saved. When's the last time you got up in the morning and you opened your Bible? Well, you know, Brother Ray, I get up really early and I got to go to work. I got to be there at a certain time. And then my day's just kind of hectic, and I got kids and a wife, a husband, you know, all these things. I just really don't have time. So if I'm maybe catch a red light just right, you know, I might crack it open on my phone. Does anybody understand this whole point of daily devotions? Are you not getting it? If you need me to explain it to you, I think I can. You get up in the morning and you open your Bible. And before you even read one word out of it, you go to your Father in prayer. Because I know this from personal experience. If you open that Bible and start reading without talking to God first, it's a waste of time. All you're doing is filling that time slot that you set up for yourself. Well, if preacher asks, you know, oh yeah, preacher, I read 75 chapters this morning. And the preacher says, oh yeah, what'd you read? Oh, I don't know, I read my Bible. See, that's not the point of daily devotions. The point of daily devotions is you get up in the morning, you open your eyes, and you go to God. Your first thought in the morning is God. See, that's how you keep your heart clean. How you keep from getting heart disease. Now I'm not as old as Miss Kim, but I'm getting pretty close to her age now. I got to start watching what I'm eating. I'm not a young buck anymore. I can't just eat anything. I'll pay for that later. Yeah, I was. Can I go with you, Bud Chuck? Where was I at? I got sidetracked. Yeah. I got to keep my heart clean. I got to. There's just no other way around it. And the Lord keeps... So I need to say this, okay? Personal experience. Brother Russell, you can go right along with me. I mean, you can probably give better advice than I can on the importance of what we put here. It is a constant struggle. It is a constant battle. Let me tell you something. You are not God. As big and as strong as Brother Russell is, he's still just a human. He needs God to guide his heart. Hold it, to keep it clean. I'm saved. I have my daily devotions because I want to make sure that Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Are you with me? Number three, church activities. Now, this is a broad spectrum, a broad scope. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we got Sunday school. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, we've got morning worship hour. Sunday evening, at 6 o'clock, we've got church again. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we got church. But here's kicker. We got soul winning on Thursday at 6:30. Guilty of it myself. Get moving throughout the week. Things come up. Things happen. You oversleep. Turn the alarm off. But the thing is, I don't have to answer to preacher for what I do on this earth. I don't have to answer to you. And as much as I love her, as much as I want to make her happy, I don't even have to answer to her. I have to answer to God. I had a verse for that. I don't remember what I did with it. What about the church activity of faithfulness? Coming Sunday morning is not going to keep your heart pure. I wrote it down and I wasn't going to say it, but tithing, guilty of it myself. Again, get going. Sometimes you forget. Sometimes you just don't have any money to tithe. I understand. But the thing is, for me to keep my heart pure with God, He says the first fruit of all my increase. Joshua gave me this ball. According to the Lord, this is my increase. I need to tithe off this ball. You want to get technical about it? Well, here's what I'd do. I'd go down to the store where Joshua bought this, and I'd find out how much this ball costs. And then I'd take 10% of it and give it to the Lord. That's right. That's 10% of the first of my increase. Hey, we got a revival coming up. We're not going to have a guest speaker, a guest singers, monster truck by all the money that our pastor has in his back pocket. Just doesn't go like that. So we give to the work of God. We may not be able to get up and sing. We may not be able to get up and preach. We may not be able to drive a van route, a bus route. We may not be able to even pick up the phone and call somebody. But there's something that we can give, and we're not giving it to our pastor. That's not what we're doing it for. We're giving it to keep our heart pure, keep our heart clean, to keep putting in the things of God. Because the more that I have God in me, the less risk I am of dying of heart disease. If you would rather participate in other activities rather than the things of God, then I got bad news for you. You got heart disease. Flip over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and I'll be done. Verse number 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. Y'all get preacher's text this morning? He left out one, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. The Bible say a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. In here dwelleth no good thing. Until got heart disease? Well, I got a real quick, real fast solution for you. I'm going to help you, okay? I'm going to give you the remedy, if you will, the antidote. When's the last time you darkened these altars? When's the last time preacher had to come over here and just completely tear these things down and redo all this stuff because people were down here, you know, rubbing up against it and messing it all up? Remember at the beginning I said we have a heart problem. I'm not a smart man by no means. But one thing that I grasp, I have to have a clean heart. And I'm going to keep my heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. You want revival? I mean, we can talk.